Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Coming in.
From this time forth and forevermore.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, have mercy on us, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Angel's Tide is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 45th chapter. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue nations before him and to loose the belts of kings, to open doors before him that gates may not be closed. I will go before you and level the exalted places. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasure of darkness and the hoards in secret places, that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob, and Israel my chosen, I call you by your name. I name you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Worship the Lord.
In the splendor of holiness.
O sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, bless his name.
Tell of his salvation from day to day.
Declare his glory among the nations.
His marvelous works among all the peoples.
For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised.
He is to be feared above all gods.
For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols.
But the Lord made the heavens.
Splendor and majesty are before him.
Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary.
Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples.
Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name.
Bring an offering.
Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness.
Tremble before him, all the earth.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Worship the Lord
in the splendor of holiness.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica, the first chapter. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor, of love and steadfastness, of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from all of the wrath to come. This is the word of the Lord.
Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. This is the gospel of the Lord.
The only God's Son.
the final words of Jesus from our gospel reading. Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. This is our penance. Religion and politics. The two things that everyone knows you are not to bring up at a family gathering or among friends. We dance delicately around these off-limits topics. How can we be true to what we believe, to our deepest beliefs, without crushing someone else's toes? It's a challenge, isn't it? All it takes is one wrong word, one misplaced comment, to create a load of trouble. Of course, trouble is exactly what the Pharisees wanted for Jesus. They wanted to stir up division. They wanted to undermine his credibility and authority. They wanted to get him in some real hot water. The only question they had was, how? So they went off, they plotted together how they could entangle Jesus and his talk, and they settled for the same thing that blows up our Thanksgiving dinners. A question about politics and religion. That'll do it. And to make sure that Jesus took their bait, they sent to him some of their own disciples, that was the religious angle, and some of the attendants of King Herod, that was the political angle. And they started by buttering him up real well. Oh, Jesus. Oh, teacher. We know that you are true, and we know that you teach the way of God truthfully, and we know that you don't care about anyone's opinion, because you aren't swayed by appearances. In other words, you can't dodge this question, Jesus. And then they throw the bomb. Tell us what you think. When April 15th rolls around and the tax man cometh, is it lawful to file your 1040 and pay taxes to Caesar or not? To pay taxes to Caesar. They weren't asking him about paying taxes to the local town hall. It wasn't about adding floodlights to the Ball Diamond or building a new senior center. No, Caesar is king. He rules the entire Roman Empire. He's the big power, far away, who really doesn't care all that much about the little guy. He's the one who handles the massive building projects, the infrastructure upgrades on a grand scale, the interstate highways, the postal service, the water supply, the palaces and prisons and temples and barracks and national monuments. So this is what happens when the tax dollar is given to Caesar. They help fund the worship of false gods. They may support oppressive, unjust, and immoral practices. They pay for a vast and powerful military, one that keeps hot spots like Judea and Galilee in check and under the thumb. I'm talking about the first century. And just so they're clear, Jesus, when we ask you whether we should pay taxes to Caesar or not, Caesar is very interested in your answer. Or not. Paying taxes, of course, is never popular. A pledge of no new taxes may win some votes. I have never heard a candidate pledge more and higher taxes for all. It doesn't work. The little guy likes to keep his money in his own pocket. He doesn't trust what Caesar will do with it. And he doesn't particularly care about Caesar's projects or want his dollars going to support those projects or the enabling oppression or increasing the power and control of the state. And by the way, Jesus, when we ask this question, pay taxes to Caesar or not, the people are really interested in what they'll say. So should we? Or should we not? It's not a bad question, actually, although we have to acknowledge that in this case, the Herodians and the disciples of the Pharisees really had no interest in the answer. They didn't care. They only wanted trouble. And Jesus knows it. He's aware of their malice. I love when the scriptures say things like that because they make us realize that Jesus knows what's going on, and he knows not only externally, but he also knows what's going on in their hearts. He is, after all, the very Son of God. So he starts by addressing that malice. Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? And then he turns the tables on them. Hey, what do you have in your pockets right now? What do you see? Show me the coin for the tax. So they pull out the coin, a common denarius, a day's wage. What do you see? Whose likeness, whose inscription is on that coin? And they said, Caesar's. Just like on our coins, on our bills, we see the faces of Lincoln, Jefferson, Roosevelt, and Washington, of Hamilton, Jackson, Grant, and Franklin. Those are the likenesses. The inscription on the Roman coin would have read, the divine Caesar Augustus. On ours it reads, Federal Reserve Note, the United States of America. And then Jesus said to them, therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? Notice where Jesus ends. He certainly speaks about Caesar and what is owed to Caesar, but then he notches it up to a higher level and a greater authority. God. You can't end with Caesar or our responsibilities to Caesar because there is a higher authority. There is a greater power. Seems to me that Jesus here is almost saying, well, Caesar, oh yeah, government. That was my idea in the first place. I'm the one who's given you government and established government. Not that it's perfect. Not that it mirrors God in every or sometimes any way. But it comes from God. Authorities are given to us by God for our good. And Jesus is willing to acknowledge and to recognize that. Caesar has a place in our life and in the world. To be honest, at this moment, I would rather be in a place that is badly governed than in a place with no lawful government at all. At least in a place that's badly governed, you're likely to have some semblance of a peaceful life and of daily necessities being met. So render to Caesar what is Caesar's. What do we owe to Caesar? We certainly owe taxes to Caesar. I mean, after all, those coins and those bills have Caesar's face imprinted on them. They were his idea. He came up with it. Render to Caesar what is Caesar's. How about honor and respect, which I find to be sorely lacking in our own day and age, on every side and every spectrum? We're more than happy to show honor and respect to our guy, to our side, but what about the others? Those who don't believe what we believe or handle things the way that we would handle them. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Obedience to laws that are just or laws that are simply given to us. Many laws have nothing to do with God's law at all. Whether the speed limit is 25 or 55, God really has nothing to say about. Other laws God cares very much about. So we obey the laws insofar as we can without dishonoring or disrespecting God. There can be at times a very uncomfortable relationship for the church and for Christians with the state. I've been reminded of this lately. Over the last month, I've been reading a book called The Gates of Hell, which is an account of the Lutheran church from the time of the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917 into the 1930s. It's an amazing story, and a disheartening and sad story. For the first time ever, the Lutheran churches in Russia actually were united and working together shortly after the Bolshevik Revolution And then as the time goes on in the 1920s and in the 1930s, you end up going from 170 pastors to about 10 pastors who are active. The church, at first, is allowed to worship inside the walls of its own building. Thank you, Caesar, very much for that, for allowing us to honor our God. But Christian practice outside is not allowed and permitted. Teaching the children the faith, that goes out the window in 1929. No Sunday school, no teaching of any sort to the children of the congregation, until finally things shrink and shrink and shrink. The taxes are levied, they can't be paid, the pastors aren't allowed to live in the cities where the churches are, until finally the church goes away. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But not that. That does not belong to Caesar, friends. Caesar does not, it does not belong to Caesar to dictate or to order our worship, to command our trust, or to oversee our lives, our bodies, and our souls. These things do not belong to Caesar. We also could say these things do not belong to us. They belong to our God. Render to God what is God's. Which raises the question of what is God's. You will not find a coin stamped with God's image on it, but you will find flesh stamped with God's image on it. Our Lord Jesus Christ, first of all. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, who became man for us. And then you and me. When God made man, he made man and woman in the image and likeness of God. So take the coin in your pocket and feel free to give that to Caesar. But as for you, as for your life, your body, your soul, your trust, and your worship, that does not belong to Caesar. That belongs to God. And the amazing thing is that Jesus not only shows this to the Pharisees by having them demonstrate through this coin the image of Caesar that lies on it, but Jesus then goes on to show the other half of what he says. Render to God what is God's. And what does Jesus do? He renders to God his life, his body, his soul, his worship, and his trust. And he does this all the way to the cross. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who does what Caesar would never do, instead of demanding from his people, instead of taking their lives, he lays down his life for his people. And he renders to his Father everything that belongs to him, to man. Jesus, our Lord, is truly God. And he has offered himself as the sacrifice for us, and he has rendered himself to the Father, to God, that we also might be rendered to God holy and forgiven, and with a life that never ends. As I think about this statement, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's, we think about what God said in the Old Testament reading, that he is the one who creates light and darkness, that he is the one who is the helper of his people, that he is the one who is our ruler and guide, not only through time, but through eternity as well. If we ask that question today, what belongs to Caesar? To Caesar Augustus, first century ruler, the answer is really nothing. Where is Caesar now? He is not in Rome. He is not ruling. He is memorialized by statues and busts and perhaps a triumphal arch in Rome. But he is in the grave and dead and gone. And where is Christ, whom they hung upon the cross and crucified, thinking thereby that they could silence him and end the trouble that he was causing by bringing God's truth to the people? Why, Christ is very much alive. He is risen from the dead. He is ascended on high, and he is still ruling and guiding over his people now. This is the beautiful thing, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. While we render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, Caesar is only temporary until he becomes a bust in a museum or a picture on a coin. But Christ is eternal, and his kingdom will last forever. The kingdoms of this world will rise and fall. The rulers will come and go. But Christ is and will and remains king forever and ever to all eternity. And that is why, as we pay our taxes to Caesar, we pay our worship to our Lord. For our life truly is in his hands. Our bodies and souls belong to him. For he can do what Caesar could never do. Caesar can take a life, but our Lord can give life. Our Lord can raise from the dead. And so we do not worship Caesar. We do not entrust our souls to Caesar. We do not offer Caesar our bodies or our lives. We give these things to our Lord, for he has given himself to us. And even now he is the one ascending and ruling and reigning and coming again. And when he comes again, you know what will happen. Every knee will bow, including the knees of Caesar. And every tongue will confess, not that Caesar is Lord, but every tongue will confess, as we do today and already have, that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
For the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty and eternal God, worthy to be held in reverence by all people everywhere, we give you humble and sincere thanks for the countless blessings that you have bestowed on us without any merit or worthiness on our part. We praise you especially for preserving for us your saving word and the holy sacraments. Grant and preserve to your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine and provide faithful pastors to preach your word with power. Help all who hear the word rightly to understand and truly to believe it. Send laborers into your harvest and open the door of faith to those who do not know you. In mercy, bring to repentance the enemies of your church and grant them amendment of life. Protect and defend your church in all tribulation and danger. Strengthen us and all fellow Christians to set our hope fully on the grace revealed in Christ. And help us to fight the good fight of faith, that in the end we may receive the salvation of our souls. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bestow your grace on all nations of the earth, and bring peace to Ukraine, Israel, and other lands torn apart by conflict and violence.
Bless especially our country, its inhabitants, and all who are in authority. Let your glory dwell in our land, that mercy, truth, righteousness, and peace may abound in all places. Protect the innocent, the elderly, and the unborn, and keep in your care all expectant mothers and their little ones, including Rachel, Ashley, Stephanie, and Shayla. Provide for Alyssa and Amara, and help them in every time of need. We commend to you the care of our schools, so that our children may grow in useful knowledge and Christian virtue, and thus bring forth wholesome fruits of life. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Graciously defend us from all calamity by fire and water, from war and pestilence, from scarcity and famine, and from every other evil. Protect and prosper all who labor in their rightful callings, and let all useful arts flourish among us. Be the God and Father of the lonely and the forsaken, the helper of the sick and needy, the comforter of the distressed and those who sorrow. Grant your care especially to Margaret, Linda, Karen, Rosemarie, Jared, Laura, Rick, Anne, Michelle, Amy, Stan, Luann, Amanda, Al and Bernie, Dan and Patty, Eleanor, Ellen, Graham, and Isaac, and to Georgia, Rick, Jeanette, and Andrea, our homebound. Lord, in your mercy.
In your prayer.
Accept, we implore you, our bodies and souls, our hearts and minds, our talents and powers, together with the offerings we bring before you as our humble service. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the Lord's table this day, that they may receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in sincere repentance and firm faith, and to their abundant blessing. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
As we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour comes, support us by your power and receive us into your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him your majesty is praised by all the holy angels and celebrated with one accord by the heavens and all the powers therein. The cherubim and seraphim sing your praise, and with them we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Oh,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 96, starting at the 8th verse. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, "The Lord reigns." Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar. And all that fills it, let the field exult and everything in it. Then he shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.